What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Experience the unknowable horror and black comedy of Nerdy Show's Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, an RPG audio drama. Find it at CthulhuMystery.com or wherever you procure fine podcasts.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Hello, loyal listener. Welcome back to the Epic Podcast, episode 6060. Recorded in the beautiful Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, I am your host, as always, Nelson Lugo.
I am your other host, as always, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we are back with another heaping helping of goodness provided by your snarkcasters here on the Nerdy Show Network.
Great. Let's drive this train into a beautiful future.
Yes. So welcome back. I know it's been a month since we last spoke. Mr. Schaefer, my best friend in the whole wide world, I want to talk about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
All kinds of wrestling things.
You will. There's a lot of
all
things going on.
Look, we're
going
to talk about winners and losers.
Wait, this is like the first time in the history of my young wrestling fandom that you've ever said to me, I want to talk about wrestling. First time ever.
Yes, yes. Only because I know the results of the wrestling. You know the results of wrestling. The world knows the results.
Sure.
Of the wrestling. But you know what? Let's let's table that. Let's put a pin in it.
I love that right now. I love the thing you just said.
What?
Let's put a pin in it and table that.
Yes.
I loved that part. Also the part where you wanted to talk to me about wrestling just because it was unusual, but not under these circumstances. But yeah, hey, yeah. I've been doing well.
Have you?
No.
Oh, God. Okay.
But I'm doing. It's late April. Spring is
finally
peeking its head out.
Peeking its head out.
New yes. York City is still just a beautifully terrible place to live. My cats are ugly and weird. And I hate my art.
Wow. Oh, that's, wow. That is a lot to unpack. My friend, that's, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I figure we might still be picking up new listeners, and that way they get a recap of the last 60 episodes.
Well, shit, I hate to disappoint the new listeners, because I'm doing okay.
Do not apologize for that.
Yeah.
Seize it.
Yeah.
Drive it.
Okay.
Own that. Wear it like the skins of your fallen enemies. Because it's rare to have such a consistently optimistic Nelson Lugo in my life.
That is true. That is true. Although I did have a bit of a artistic setback. I had my reading. I had my reading of my solo show.
This is the stage reading of your next solo show, your follow-up.
Yeah.
To Gathering the Magic.
Yeah.
This one's called Cheating Death.
Cheating Death.
I was in attendance.
You were in attendance.
I saw that.
It was a great opportunity for me to put the new script up on its feet, do the new magic in its entirety from beginning to end, get a feel for it, get a sense of the shape, the scope, and the narrative, and all of the pieces have all been disparate, you know, jigsaw puzzle just kind of splayed out over a table. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I got to put it all together.
Yeah.
And in front of people that care. And it was a great, great opportunity. I got some great feedback for it. You still haven't given me your thoughts on it. You said we were gonna talk about it, and then we never did for whatever reason.
Right.
So hopefully you'll be telling me your thoughts pretty soon.
I will.
And it was great. I got some disappointing news because I reached out to the Tank Theater because they were so generous with time and resources when it was time to do Gathering the Magic. Mm-hmm. And since then, they've moved into a new space.
Yeah.
So they're no longer a tiny little 70-seat, one black box theater. They're now a pretty massive theater now. They have two theaters now that they run in a different space. Mm-hmm. One is, I believe, a 60-seat theater, mm-hmm. and the other one's more of a 100-seat theater. And instead of doing like two shows a night, they're doing some like ridiculous like 14 shows in like days. You know, it's like they've tripled the amount of shows in the space.
Wow.
Ultimately. Because it's more rent, it's more, you know, the electricity bill is bigger, like everything's much more massive. So they're like every hour of that space is booked with something, you mm-hmm. know, that's generating revenue for the theater.
I mean, I guess that speaks to the thriving nature of off-Broadway in New York City, that there's that many shows and productions looking for theater space.
Oh, absolutely.
That they can fill their schedule. Like
well, that. And the Tank still holds to their manifesto of providing free space for artists, and the Tank pays them for to be there, so they're still operating under that business model, mm-hmm. which is unprecedented in New York City. Unfortunately, because of the new space, the press hasn't followed them there, which is sad. So marketing shows has been difficult, and they can't give me an extended run in the way that I got for Gathering the Magic.
Oh,
yeah. Which is, I mean, I understand why it's disappointing, because I was kind of counting on doing an extended run because the only reason to do, because doing a show in New York, at least off Broadway, is fucking horrible. You know, you don't make any money. You barely get the amount of audience you need to fill the theater. The only reason you do it is so that you can get press to come and see the show to get reviews. Now, once you get those reviews, you can attach them to the show and then take them other places where you will make money mm-hmm. and you will sell tickets. And so right now I've been offered 3 dates and they're not exactly the best dates with the best times. And not at the fault of the Tank. I think the Tank has always been wonderful to me. I think they're just operating under different circumstances now.
Would it be too much if I called them a bunch of dog dicks?
Yes. Yes. Well, that would be absolutely too much. Yes.
I get this like defensive thing kicks in, and you know, you've had like a working relationship with them for, you know, 8 years or something.
Yeah. Long. I mean, I've seen 3 artistic directors come and go from the Tank. Yes.
You've seen that theater in multiple buildings.
Multiple buildings, multiple evolutions, and multiple phases, yes.
Where's the love for the loyalty? You had your cancer benefit there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I had the cancer benefit under the auspices of the Tank Theater, but it wasn't, it's not the same building. It's not the same staff. It's not the same, you know,
value system.
No, I do not fault him at all. There's it's the artistic director, Rosalind Grush, is one of the best human beings on the planet. She's absolutely lovely and wicked smart, and has sort of not single-handedly made the Tank it is what it is today, and with a small army of dedicated people, and you know, she has a lot, you know, she has a lot of things to. She has a lot of pies and a lot of ovens. You know, I'm one pie in one oven of like 72 ovens that she has to sort of curate. And I get it now. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a bigger enterprise than it used to be. So, I don't know. I mean, I haven't responded to her email yet. I want to see if I can try and negotiate like better dates and better times. And, you know, there's no way I'm going to get a 3-week run. That's obvious.
Do you want a little muscle who has no clout anywhere to kind of lead that conversation? I've seen a lot of gangster movies.
No, please don't send her any horse heads. Please don't.
I wouldn't send her a horse head.
No, don't
I'd
do that.
Send the email equivalent of a horse head, though.
They don't care.
It'll only reflect poorly on
me. Yes, it'll reflect poorly on me, yes. No, again, I don't fault them. I mean, it's a different operation than it was, like, you know, 3 years ago. But, you know, it's that just means I need to get more creative about where I produce this show, you know, and whether or not reviews are that important, at least the New York reviews, you know. I don't know. I have a lot of figuring out to do. I have a lot of, like, creative problem solving to take care of, and, you know, it's still not on its feet yet. Like, you know, I haven't had a rehearsal yet with a director. I haven't, you know, talked about costuming or set or anything that works towards a final product, you know. So, you know, maybe me thinking about all of this is a little premature, but I operate better when I have a deadline. When I don't have a deadline, I kind of flounder and meander about.
You goof around and watch television.
Basically, yeah. So, you know, my most of my disappointment about the dates is that it is a deadline. It's just not a very good one.
Would it help your clout there? Would it improve your standing and your ability to get a show?
Sure.
If you went around and performed a bunch of shitty stories about your shitty stepdad and got some moth accolades, and then you went back to the tank and you're like, look at all these moth accolades that they apparently just hand out if you have a shitty stepdad.
Oh!
Would that improve your...
You've literally described... like one third of all the moth stories ever told in the history of the moth.
Wow.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, I mean, I don't want to mansplain. Please stop me if I'm mansplaining. The Moth is a storytelling show, often appearing on the NPR, and it has its own podcast as well.
Terrific. That's enough.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they give you some. You're not considering looking somewhere else, are you? Your next plan is to renegotiate and.
The next plan is to renegotiate. I think instead, the current plan is that maybe to sort of re-examine the nature of the review, mm-hmm. and whether or not that's actually valuable. And instead, maybe market to the people specifically who can take my show above and beyond. So, like, getting 4 dates with a better time slot, mm-hmm. that are like 4 days in succession, or like, you know, like a Friday, Saturday, and do a aggressive, concentrated, targeted sort of campaign to get producers there, to get theater bookers there, to get, you know, festival artistic directors there, you know, like, and like bypass the review system altogether and go directly to the source of the people who would do the hiring.
Hmm.
So I have no idea how to do that. So if you're a listener and you're a theater person and you could help a brother out, send us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. I mean, the other option is, you know, I become a grant writer, and that's a whole other ball of wax.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of responsibilities to do while you're killing time before getting to work on the other responsibility. Right. Showbiz. Well, I'm glad to hear that was the setback and not the show itself. The show itself is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I still...
I would like a different lead. The guy you have playing Nelson Lugo is, like, a little on the nose.
Yeah, he's a bit hammy, and I think he owes me money. So,
yes. No, the show is great, though.
Thank you.
It's, you know, it's whimsical and upsetting, which is kind of just you in 2 adjectives.
I'm going to quote you.
Great.
Whimsical and upsetting. Shafer the Dark Lord.
That's what I do now. I write press releases.
Perfect.
For you, in as few words as possible.
Done. I'll take them. I don't care.
I need all the help I can get at this point.
Great.
So what's up with you, my bro Ham? My buddy.
Nothing.
Shut up.
Slowly chipping away at another record. I'm working
another out. One.
Another one.
Which is this one?
And another one.
And another one.
This is a... I have done a lot of work with Vince Vandal over the years. I have done songs with him for his records, his Friend and Fandoms compilations. He entirely produced my record, Sex Rhymes.
That's true. Yeah.
He's just one of my favorite people. I love him dearly. And, you know, a few months ago, we already started having, like, we'd already amassed another handful of songs together. And he came up with the idea of releasing it as a collaborative project instead of just being a Shape of the Dark Lord record with beats produced by Vince Vandal, making it like a collaborative thing and giving ourselves a collective like group name.
Oh.
And making a full-length record out of the songs that we started talking about doing an EP because that's how those of us who like talk a big game and then take forever to make things do. We tried to get a little realistic over the past 8 years and do things like, oh, we're going to do an EP. It's going to be like 5 songs, like 6 songs.
Yeah,
we're
going
to do like 7 songs.
Yeah.
We're going to put together an EP of like 8 songs. And now it's going to be a full length. And I am behind schedule. He's
cracking them out.
He's hit a streak of inspiration. He's been sending more beats. We've got a bunch of beats or a bunch of songs like already in the can. There's more songs to write now, so I am just finishing or working on a record.
Sidebar, I played for you this hook, this beat that I found from a 1920s song. And I also sent it to Vince.
Yes.
Is he using that?
He might be. I'm not sure. Vince doesn't do a lot of stuff with samples.
That fucking asshole.
Well, it makes it so that the artist can sell stuff.
I get it. But
it's hard to sell stuff.
No, this song is under public domain.
Oh, well. You have to follow up with my producer, Vince Vandal.
Also, another follow-up. As your DJ, why am I just hearing about this now?
as my DJ, because you don't listen when I talk to you.
That's
you knew I was working on songs with Vince. We've been performing them in our show.
Oh.
Yeah, I Hate People's going to be on it. The Bringer's going to be on it.
Okay. All right. No, I didn't realize all of that was part of a collective.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that reminds me. We finished our run with MC Lars. And
yes, we did. We finished our run with MC Lars.
We did. We had a lovely three. You did three. I did four.
Yeah.
Five total,
yeah.
Of MC Lars' residency at Gold Sounds Bar in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It just
that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
I met a lot of really talented, really fantastic people.
We got to perform with so many great people.
Yeah,
Miss Eves.
Miss Eves is fucking fantastic.
Wheatus, you didn't do the Wheatus show.
I did not do the Wheatus show,
but you did do
because
the show.
I hate Wheatus.
You did nobody. You did do the show with Front a lot.
I did do the show with Front a lot.
And the show with Tron and DVD.
Those guys are great.
I saw a lot of. Talented musicians. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. I got to hear some great music.
Thanks, Lars, for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Lars.
Thanks, Lars.
It's so easy to get aggressive with Lars because it's...
comically misplaced?
Yes, comically misplaced, exactly.
So that's really all I've been doing. I still chip away at my... 2K18 career every now and then.
2K18, the wrestling game.
Yes, I do.
Where are you now in the career mode?
You know, it's funny how much that game reflects the actual industry.
Okay.
It's remarkable. You can instead of like a moral choiceism, you can make decisions along your career path that either gain you favor with an audience, so you have huge pops when you come out, the crowd loves you.
Yeah, yeah.
Your merch sells, so you get more XP that way.
Sure.
Or you can do everything that the bosses want you to do all the time. And, you know, the crowd, you won't be so over with the crowd. They won't really like you, but the company will keep giving you great opportunities, which is really how it works.
Yeah.
There is no wrestler that is less over than Roman Reigns, and yet he's such a company man that he gets all of these incredible opportunities, and the fans just hate him. Meanwhile, there are wrestlers like Rusev, who is so crazy over with fans right now that they chant Rusev Day during other wrestlers' matches at the other brand when they get bored. Yet the company keeps burying him in like battle royals and six-man tags and things like that.
Geez.
So it's I don't know. I'm trying to work
that
out.
That's so weird.
I feel like I'm doing well in my career. I've got the I'm the current U.S. champion as well as Mr. Money in the Bank. I've got
what?
A briefcase to cash in. Yeah, that's right. But I'm not kissing the boss's ass. So even like after winning the title, my next match was opening a pay-per-view and a six-man tag with the like with Breezango and Jason Jordan and some other jabronis. It's just a nightmare. But it's a very good simulator for being a pro wrestler at Vince McMahon's company. Who gives a shit?
I do.
Okay.
I'm thoroughly entertained by this.
I have really gotten to where I hate the sound of my voice explaining something because I realize that everything I natter on about is so painfully dull.
Oh, stop. No. I am filled with nothing but joy and light.
That's because you know that something's coming.
No. Well, maybe. I mean, yes.
All right, I don't really have anything else to talk about. My cats are ugly. New York City's a terrible place to live. Spring's coming.
I do want to do a quick shout out to Delilah Dentata. She and her partner Jim Dandy run a burlesque show down in Washington, D.C. called the D.C. Burlesque Brunch Club. Yes. No, the D.C. Burlesque Breakfast Club.
Okay.
And it's a show that starts at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and they serve brunch with mimosas and eggs and all that delicious stuff. And
thank you for mansplaining brunch to our audience. Go on.
Okay. And then during the meal, there's a burlesque show, and I got to perform in pajamas, and it was great.
Oh, you didn't mention that detail earlier.
Yeah, I foregoed the dapper suit, and I figured because it's a breakfast show, I should show up in my pajamas, and I did, and it was great. And I got to perform for a whole room of people who'd never seen me before, who'd never seen my shtick before, and it was great. And then all of the other performers in the show were really lovely and really wonderful, top-notch talent, and I'd never worked with most of them.
Were you hosting or just doing a couple acts?
Just doing a couple acts.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was nice to be a part of a burlesque show where I wasn't worried half the cast hated me.
Oh, sure.
And it was great.
Yeah, that's
it was really wonderful.
That's a constant reality in our lives now.
Yeah.
Like, it was a long time ago, but it was even, like, by the time that I think that this podcast started, we were still...
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. This podcast started because I quit our burlesque show.
Yes. Yes.
Let's go to the tape.
Go to the tape.
No, we're not going to the tape. You can do it on yourselves. I'm not
listening. We're not going to the tape.
But yeah, that is a major part of our reality now is going to burlesque shows.
Yeah.
Counting how many people hate us.
Yes.
Or. How many people I hate.
Oh, yes.
Because boy, am I soured on a lot of friendships I considered of value just mere years ago.
Well, you know, this whole lawsuit thing and just prior to that, it's like it's given me a complex. I feel like every room I walk into, like they all hate me. And I know logically that's just stupid. But like emotionally, I walk into this room and I'm like, okay, they're all avoiding me. They all don't like me. They all hate me. They're all saying unkind things about me.
Sure.
And that's just crazy. I don't want to feel like that anymore.
Well, they're not all, but many of them are. I just want you to assure you, based on how toxic the various tribe wars of New York City burlesque in 2018 have grown. Yeah, there's definitely a couple people there that are speaking well of you.
Yes.
And this really speaks to how far you've come in your new upgraded optimistic model, because I would not have confirmed this to you a couple of years ago when you were like Eeyore the Lugo. I would never have said, no, Lugo, nobody is speaking ill of you. But now, it looks like you're standing on some pretty solid legs there, so
yeah.
I can say, no, a lot of people hate your guts. Only by virtue of the fact that you aren't on the correct team, which is the team of shits. I hate it all so. Fuck you and your friends.
A huge, huge thank you to Delilah and Jim for having me down. It was so much fun.
Awesome.
And she let me stay in her home, and it was lovely. And I can't wait to go back.
That's great. I'm glad you had a great gig, and I'm glad people were nice to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, bravo.
Absolutely. But let's move on to the main event. The following contest is scheduled for one fall.
Oh, good Lord. Do you want to tee up the intro to our segment like you did last time?
What did I do?
You had like a, you were like, for more on this, we're going to take you to.
For more on this, we'll take you to Schaefer's Wrestling Corner.
All right, folks, last month's episode, I made WrestleMania predictions. We were about a week away.
Yes, you did.
I made predictions, and I was so confident.
So confident.
In all of my match predictions.
So, like, unhesitatingly, unwavering in your confidence.
That I made a bet on air, because I love playing games with Nelson Lugo.
Right.
Where there are stakes involved.
Because you always win those.
I bet my WrestleMania predictions on the reveal of previously unheard music that I created at the very dawn of my career.
Yeah, like
before
little baby Dark Lord raps.
Before I started Shape of the Dark Lord, before I was in the rap group The End of the World that preceded it out in California. But the stuff I made in secret in a four track in the house where I lived with four other white dudes in my college town in Iowa City, Iowa, when I made 30-some rap songs in secret to sort of develop my skills,
nice.
Which ultimately created me a body of work I would be mortified to ever play for ears of people who became a fan of my later act. I bet that I would play one of those songs.
Yes, you
songs
did.
That I have buried deeply, that I have not shared with partners. Not shared with, like, my other musical friends. Cool Z is the only one who's ever heard any of
this. Wait, so these songs are part of a body of work that have never been put on a tape or CD and sold?
They were sold on a cassette tape
at
a record store in my college.
Okay.
But this was in, like, 1998.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God, 98.
Yeah. I put some on CDs later and sold them. We did a show, and I sold some CDs then. But that was also still in Iowa.
Exceedingly local.
Long before anybody would give a shit.
Right.
I was a guy who played drums in some band, and this was my goofy rap project.
Yeah.
But
it's
terrible stuff. But anyway, so I bet my WrestleMania predictions against sharing one of those songs.
Right.
Let's go down and look at my predictions real quick.
Let's go to the list.
See how I did. All right. The Raw tag team titles. It was Sheamus and Cesaro versus Braun Strowman and an unnamed partner.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had a bunch of partners I was hoping he would pick. It was none of them. He picked a 10-year-old kid out of the crowd to be his fake partner.
Nice.
I predicted that Strowman and whoever he picked would win and take the belts, and I was correct.
Nice.
Ding, ding, ding. There's
ding,
one for me.
Ding, ding for you. What did the 10-year-old do?
He just stood there and looked adorable.
Aww.
And then the next night on Raw, he relinquished the belts because he was like, we can't really be a tag team. So now they're currently owned by nobody.
Oh.
No, because they make great business decisions at WWE.
That's...
It was a fun moment.
It was a cute moment. It was a fun moment.
Unfortunately, hashtag Sheamus' daddy lost his belt. The Raw Intercontinental Championship was a triple threat match between The Miz, Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins. And I said The Miz would retain, and Seth Rollins took the belt. I was wrong.
Wrong.
Raw Women's title, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. I said Nia Jax would take that belt that she has deserved for so long, and I was correct.
Ding, 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 ding. Winner.
The SmackDown tag team titles. It was a triple threat match of the champions Usos versus the New Day versus the new guys, the Bludgeon Brothers. I said the new guys, the Bludgeon Brothers, would win, and I was correct.
Ding, ding, ding. Winner.
SmackDown United States Championship. It was a fatal four-way match between champion Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Rusev. And
Jinder
I said
Mahal.
Randy Orton would retain, and Jinder Mahal took the belt.
Jinder Mahal!
I was wrong.
Loser!
SmackDown Women's Championship. It was Charlotte Flair versus Asuka, the undefeated Asuka. I made a crazy elaborate prediction on
you
this
did.
One.
You did.
That involved Carmella coming in, yeah. cashing in the Money in the Bank contract. Yeah. But I said,
which I did not hold you to.
I said Asuka would win, Carmella would cash in. Charlotte won and broke Asuka's streak. I was wrong.
Loser.
The Cruiserweight Championship. It was the end of the tournament, which came down to Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. I said Cedric Alexander would win, and I was correct.
Winner. Ding, 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 ding.
And then in the main event, it was the Raw Universal title. The Beast, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And I said, this one's a no-brainer. Uh-huh. Roman Reigns is going to win so he can lose it to someone else because Brock Lesnar is going to retire. And Brock Lesnar retained.
Ding, ding, ding.
Apparently re-upping his contract.
Loser.
I was wrong. So to go through those title matches that I predicted.
How many wins?
I got four of them correct.
Four wins.
And I got five of them wrong.
Five losses. And I said, it wasn't even a percentage. I said, all you have to do is get one more win than losses.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that.
No.
So, tell us a little bit about the track you're about to play for us.
Oh, sweet Jesus Christ.
When was it recorded? What's it about?
So my first hip-hop project was... I was a drummer in a band.
Yes.
I was just learning how to multi-track on a four-track.
Sure.
And I would come home from my porn shop job. I've talked about this in like every interview I've ever done on anybody's podcast.
Yeah.
I would come home from my porn shop job at 2 a.m, and I would sneak down in the basement, and I would record songs on my four-track secretly, learning how to multi-track record.
Yeah.
And then I kept them a secret from my bandmates, because I was like, we were all a bunch of little pretentious music snobs.
Sure.
And think less of me, and I was embarrassed, but I was like passionately going at this
thing.
No,
of course, yeah.
After a while, they eventually kind of joined in, and one of the guys made a couple beats, and a couple of the other guys would join in and do like guest vocals, but
sure.
It was really my project.
Yeah.
This project, this band was called Syphilis Bill.
Syphilis Bill.
And this was the 90s, so our thing, or the gimmick that I created for this project was that it was a bunch of gangster rappers, but they'd rap about how they kill people and how they smoke a lot of weed, but they would also, the gimmick was that they would brag about how many sexually transmitted diseases they had, and how like unsafe they were, and all this, it was just like all this really graphic, disgusting.
I'm getting the syphilis part of Syphilis Bill.
So that was kind of their angle.
So wait,
there were four characters that I created, and I was basically all of them. It was DJ Eat a Dick,
DJ Eat a Dick,
DJ Stupid Dick,
DJ Stupid Dick,
MC Sick Stupid,
MC Sick Stupid,
and the one I used the most, MC STD. Yeah, I just learned something.
So the letters came before
they did
the name.
Because when I was in San Francisco and joined this rap group, The End of the World, I wasn't yet as ashamed of this material as I should have been. And I had in my head, I thought that I was great. And I was like, you know, someday I'm going to want to release that old stuff. So I'd better make a stage name now.
Yeah.
Where I can still attach myself to it. So in The End of the World, I was called STD, and every show it would just stand for something different.
Interesting.
And then I was so up my own ass about that material that when I went solo, I was like, I better make a stage name that fits this acronym.
Sure, sure.
And here we are. All of my
30 years later.
My stage name that I hate is tied to this humiliating project that I made years ago. This is my skeleton. This is the biggest skeleton.
Oh my god!
So there's this one CD there was one CD of like 30 some songs, and then I'd made this EP when I'd gone back to Iowa, like my first 6 months after living in California, and did a show with my friends because I was homesick.
Sure.
And I'd made like a handful of other songs. I can't even find those.
There's what?
Like, I did like this 5-song EP. I have no idea where they are.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't like lose stuff like
that.
No, you don't. But I lost it for years and didn't realize it until I was looking for it recently.
You're a music hermit.
And was like, I think you mean hoarder.
Hoarder, yes. Yeah.
I realized that I just lost it, and I was like,
they're just gone forever.
Good.
Holy shit.
But anyway, so I dug up the first one, which I still had, and I listened to it all the way through. And after I took the knife away from my throat, I had to narrow it down a little bit. It's all so bad. It's all so problematic.
Okay. Do we need to bleep out anything, or we should listen to it all the way through?
No. Well, okay. No. So listen to this.
Okay.
Here we go. Here's a song from Syphilis Bill. There's that kid.
That can't be all of it.
That's an entire song. That song is called Flying Ass Cat Pigs.
That can't be all of it.
All right.
Stop. That cannot be all of it.
That is the shortest track on the album.
Wait, that's literally one of the songs?
Yes, it's called Flying Ass Cat Pigs.
Okay, no, that's not going to work.
I know.
That's not going to work. Right. You need to give me something with lyrics.
All right.
Fucking flying ass pigs.
Flying ass cat pigs.
Sorry, flying ass cat pigs. Got it.
All right, here you go.
I fucked the dead horse chicken, and now I've got syphilis.
On your mark, get set, die, motherfucker. So many motherfuckers in this town won't be around when I put it down. You find your head and I lost it fucking found. Say yes to me, you see who be in your way from having a good day. Make you suck this motherfucking book on the run and make you go away. I'm killing you.
nice. You are beautiful.
And there you have it.
Tits to the motherfucking crotch.
Homeboy.
Homeboy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question.
Just one?
Okay, I have so many questions. Here's what I'm gonna... Are you doing some sort of vocal effect with your voice? Or is that how you sounded back in 98?
I think the pitch might have been cranked up a little bit, but it's only a little bit. Like, because I went through and listened to a bunch of them, and I wasn't cranking up the pitch on every track. And my voice is audibly higher and squeaky.
Yeah.
It's because I didn't have, like, an additional 20 years of, like, calluses on my vocal cords from going around the country and drinking booze and smoking cigarettes and screaming at people every night. So my voice has gotten deeper since then, even though I was technically an adult man when that was recorded.
Sure, some people are just late bloomers, you know.
I don't think that was recorded in 90. I think that was probably recorded. I was 23 when that was made. 23. It's literally the least offensive song that I could play.
You know what? I'm gonna say this with all honesty.
Okay.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh.
I mean, there's some sloppy cadence stuff.
Sure.
You know, and you're trying to fit in way too many syllables on some of those lines. But it's not that bad.
I'm also trying to fit a vocal affectation into this body.
Yes.
Which is...
Aside from the problematic subject matter, I can already see or sense, like, the future work of Schaefer the Dark Lord in that. It's like the proto Schaefer the Dark Lord. All of the elements are there. They've just been refined over the years.
Sure.
Essentially.
Sure. I don't.
That was ridiculous.
I don't say holy fucking Jesus goddamn fucking Christ in my songs anymore. Or should I?
Well, if you haven't, then you're leaving money on the table, my friend.
Actually, now that I think about it, I feel like...
Tits to the crotch, I think, is really clever. I don't... It made me laugh. I don't know if it's supposed to make me laugh.
I think it was all supposed to be funny. I think it was supposed to make an audience laugh.
Right.
That audience being me.
Yeah.
And then my friend Jason back home, because I would, like, put these on cassette tapes and send them to him. Be like, tell me I'm pretty. I mean, funny. And he would do it, and then I made him a guest MC in a song.
Well, folks, what did you think of the little baby rapper known as Schaefer the Dark Lord? What's that track called?
It's called People Are Dead.
Send us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of People Are Dead. Would you buy this on iTunes? Do you want them to release it as a dollar track?
The thing Cool Z has threatened for years is among his many schemes over the years that he's like, he has this record label, and he's wanted to go back and take all of these like four track projects of his friends from college, which are, there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of them from around the same time.
Yeah.
And he's constantly telling me that he really wants to put out this full album
Of yours.
Yeah. I'll break both of his fucking arms. I swear to God. I will chew the Ghostbusters tattoos off of his body if he ever tries to make this available to somebody, free or not.
I think you should get out in front of it and put that out.
I think I've got a pretty good handle on my friendship with Z that I think I can plead to him.
Rein that in, yeah.
Don't do this, brother.
Yeah.
Don't do this. Like I'm Rick Grimes talking to Shane when they opened up the Green's barn and he started mowing down all of their dead relatives. Don't do this, brother. And I think Z would hear my cry and take mercy on my vanity.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not a good song.
You know what?
But I
will let you listen to another one off mic for comparison.
No. I mean, I agree. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, all of the elements of Schaefer the Dark Lord are there.
Sure.
There's a lot of clever turns of phrases. Some clever sort of rhyme schemes going on there.
A fucking half-assed horrorcore rapper. Oh, yeah. That's what's still...
I mean, most of it, yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not... I don't want to...
I am still
I don't want to sugarcoat
horrorcore.
This.
Yeah, okay.
But as like, fledgling rap projects go, that's pretty good.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I would like to apologize to all of you, but among you, I would mostly like to apologize to C. Muldrow.
C. Muldrow. We're very sorry you had to listen
sorry
to that.
Sorry you had to hear that. So I am 0-3. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. At the time I had recorded this, I had never lived outside of the state of Iowa, too. Let's keep that in mind. Yeah. So I am 0-3.
Yeah.
In challenges with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I lost the Batman challenge when we had Alan Kistler on.
Yep.
I lost the Star Wars challenge when we had Frontalot on.
Right.
And I lost the WrestleMania challenge when we had no friends or guests anymore.
Yeah.
All three of these challenges
yeah.
were my idea.
Yeah.
The stakes in all of them were my idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have an unbroken losing streak.
Yes, you do.
And I keep paying the price. And I'm not done. I'm still going to challenge you to shit.
No, of course. But as well you should. I like winning.
If the audience has a challenge for us, a game that I might have a slim chance of
actually,
of winning,
I might want to pitch you a thing. You want to hear it?
Go ahead.
All right. So I'm going to say partner. My partner and I just came back from a long road trip, and we were joking around. And we came up with a game show idea. Who knows Nelson the best?
Is it you're gonna put your partner
yeah.
against me
yeah.
in a challenge
yeah.
to see which one of them?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! What are the stakes?
I don't. Whatever you want.
Whatever I want.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about it. I mean, this may be a terrible idea.
Like it hurt. When I lost
Star Wars
trivia
yes.
to you.
Star Wars was the one that I think hurt the most.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the thing. With that game show,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to win it, and I wouldn't want to lose it. So.
Well, look, she's got the handicap of having known me the least.
Mm-hmm.
Right? However, you have the handicap of always losing trivia ever.
Okay.
So, there's that.
You know what we could do?
Yeah.
We could get both of our partners
mm-hmm.
and have them get together and write trivia questions for either one of us.
Oh, like which one of us knows the most about each other?
Yeah. They'll compare notes.
Oh, okay.
And then they can ask us and see which one of us wins.
Okay, we'll talk about this off mic.
If you're interested in this,
send us an email.
epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So
and then let us know what the stakes should be.
Yeah.
I wish I had video of some of my shitty first magic performances.
The ultimate price. That should be the stakes of that
the
game.
The most dangerous game.
I think it's time we should take a quick break and
yeah.
Play music that isn't garbage.
Yes.
So just as a palate cleanser. So
yes.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back in just a moment.
Incoming Nerdy Show Network ad break.
Hey folks, this is Cap, executive producer of Nerdy Show.
And I'm Doug from Nerdy Show.
And we're here to tell you about Simple Contacts.
Cap, practically everyone on the Nerdy Show Network wears glasses and you don't wear contacts.
Well, I might be known by my distinctive blue frames when you see me out at conventions and so on, but I do, in fact, wear contacts.
When the heck did that start?
Cosplaying, actually. I wasn't about to go blind all day to get the look right, so I took the plunge and shoved some things in my eyes.
Who'd you go as?
Judy Funny. But look, here's the thing about contacts. If you run out, you have to go back to the optometrist, and they're going to re-examine your eyes all over again, and it's a big, complicated, expensive pain in the butt. But I'm happy to say that those days are over.
Because of Simple Contacts.
Correct.
So is Simple Contacts a website, or...?
It's an app you download that checks your eyes at home, renews your prescription, and sends contacts to your door.
Your phone gave you an eye exam. Do you know how weird that sounds?
It is really weird, but also really cool. First, you hold the phone close to your face, and it scopes out your eyes as you look up and left and right. And then you place the phone propped up on a surface and walk 10 feet away, and it's talking at you. And then you read an eye chart. You pick your contact brand, enter your prescription data, and you're done. Contacts in the mail. Their vision test only costs $20. And I don't have vision insurance, so it would cost me way more otherwise.
Well, yeah.
Now, I've got to stress, this is not a replacement for your periodic full health eye exam. They're only testing that your current prescription still helps you see 20/20. But if your prescription is still good, why jump through all those hoops and spend all that extra money?
I'm assuming they gave us a code or something?
Heck yeah, they did. You can get $30 off your contacts if you go to simplecontacts.com/nerdyshow or use the code nerdyshow at checkout.
Dang, so that means our code gets you the vision test for free.
And then some. So again, go to simplecontacts.com/nerdyshow or use the code nerdyshow at checkout. Download the app, try it out for yourself, tell a friend or family member.
I'm not shoving anything into my eyes, but I'm definitely going to mention it to people I know who use contacts.
Thanks, Doug.
You're welcome.
Simple Contacts is not shipped to Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Maryland, New Jersey, or South Carolina.
We now return to your regularly scheduled program.
Back to business. Mega ran off tour. Now it's back to business. Bag of tricks on the boys. Now it's back to business. G1 on the beat. Now it's back to business.
Boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. It don't really matter to me, homie, long as you in here. Boo it, yeah. Boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. But if you don't like me, ask yourself, what is you doing here? Boo it, yeah. Boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. It don't really matter to me, homie, long as you in here. Boo a cheer, boo a cheer. It's your right to boo a cheer. But if you don't like me, ask yourself, what is you doing here? Okay, Austin and The Rock, they was some special dudes. Nowadays you boring just cause you respect the rules. Nowadays we working harder than them other dudes. Find another cat to cut the same old lecture too. They forcing them down our throat. They forcing them down our throat. That's because before the push, you all loved them the most. Only got three moves. You only got three moves. Who you talking about? Cause that's everybody, my dude. If I get all the chance, they call me Babyface. Whip a pill with the skill, that's my saving grace. Miss a meal, yeah, I still keep my lady lace. Throw it back like it's 88. Summer Slam, Mega Bucks versus Mega Powers. Expedition with the extra fixin' Eddie Bauer. We about to make it rain like some heavy showers. Anticipate me winning every hour on the hour. Boo it, yeah, boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. It don't really matter to me, homie, long as you in here. Boo it, yeah, boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. But if you don't like me, ask yourself, what is you doing here? Boo it, yeah, boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. It don't really matter to me, homie, long as you in here. Boo it, yeah, boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. But if you don't like me, ask yourself, what is you doing here? First of all, I come to offer my apologies. This for anyone on my socials who follow me. Cause a whole lot of stuntin's what you about to see. Cause I'm a mess, but still got some endearing qualities. Just because you see me with your favorites taking pictures, that don't mean you sliding my DMs acting different. I know that I'm busy, we don't get a chance to kick it. Check the prices on the meet and greet and grab a ticket. You found a niche market. You found a niche market. Maybe I did. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you just spit garbage. He got on with that nerd rap. He got on with that nerd rap. Yeah, I know and unheard that. Go ahead, run the last verse back. That will be snapping, man. I said it. That will be snapping, man. I came up battling. Please don't make me go back again. Since the day I hit the scene, they fiending like it's nicotine. You can curse and kick and scream, but I can't hear you through the screen. Boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. It don't really matter to me, homie, long as you in here. Boo it, yeah. Boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. But if you don't like me, ask yourself, what is you doing here? Boo it, yeah. Boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. It don't really matter to me, homie, long as you in here. Boo it, yeah. Boo it, yeah. It's your right to boo it, yeah. But if you don't like me, ask yourself, what is you doing here?
Headed to the ring, feel like I'm the hardest here. Your children can try to cheer, I will make them shed a tear. When I tear they poster, anyone can be a volunteer. You were just a poser, in my heart you never struck no fear. Cause look how you're smiling, you too cheerful. I'll cut a promo, and here's an earful. You full of it? I swear this beat make me feel like Jericho. I'm about to put you on the list. Mr. T, your team to shoot. Club a lang and bang my fist. Bang a ring and never miss. Kimbo slice your team to bits. Ice grill, ice pack on my kneecaps. They saying wrestling is fake, they need to relax. Cause it's just scripted. With this gab, I'm gifted. Heel turn, then I turn your man into submission. I'm saying for a second, listen. You paid your money, now it's time to pay attention.
Did you know that the Epic Podcast is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network? And did you know that the Nerdy Show Podcast Network is home to dozens of other programs that are also surely relevant to your nerdy interests? Oh, it's true. It's damn true. Swing by nerdyshow.com and see what treasures await you. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. At patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can fund the entire Nerdy Show Network and unlock a plethora of amazing bonus content and early releases. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Folks, this month on the program, we're going to catch up on some long-neglected listener mail.
That's right. It's a mailbag episode.
Yeah. You've sent us emails.
Yes.
We've read them.
We have.
Most of them.
I've read them. A lot of these are going to go... Here's the thing. No one really asks questions. They all kind of just write in to tell us how much they really enjoy the show and their favorite moments from it and what they've gotten from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go through just a few of these, and we're going to go way back in the Wayback Machine.
Okay.
So this was January 9th of this year.
Okay.
Hello, Nelson and Schaefer. I love how I'm the first on the list. Thank you so much.
This is your show.
No, it's half.
This is your show.
It's half my
it's
show.
It's yours.
That's half.
Just a guess.
So much to say and compact into a succinct email. I'm not quite sure where to begin. I guess to start, I'm a huge fan of the show. I discovered it late into the game and have since listened through most of the back issues. The unique comedic perspective into your lives has brought me hours upon hours of joy, slaving away at the mindless task that is my job. For that, thank you. Through the podcast, you have quickly become two of my favorite internet personalities. All I can say without rambling is that if I ever get the chance to meet you face to face, I would shake your hand, buy you a beer, and give you a hug. That one is optional. You two sound just like joyous company to be around. I don't know. I guess it depends. It depends on what day you find us. But I want to thank you, Schaefer, after listening to the episode featuring Francine, the Lucid Dream, and hearing the two of you talk about Twin Peaks. I took my own gander into the show and got hooked. Your description of it being a very visually told story was extremely accurate. Thank you for being much. Thank you very much for otherwise piquing my interest into the series. To wrap up this email, you two are amazing human beings in my book, and the ramblings of two middle-aged divorcees fall on very welcome ears here. Thank you so very much for what you do and for everything you produce, despite the challenges life throws into your way. That's all I want to fit into this email without feeling like I'm rambling. Also, listening to the two of you every month makes me want to see you both perform live very bad. Being in Arizona sucks sometimes. Another confirmed listener, C. Hollingsworth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you, C. Hollingsworth.
Yeah. He's referring to the Twin Peaks episode that was not too long ago where you talked about the Showtime special and the work you were doing with Francine and...
Francine and I talked about the first 7 episodes of The Return.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
We still need to do a follow-up episode with Francine to do the rest of the season.
How many more episodes after 7?
There's 18 total.
Holy schmoly.
Yeah, and shit just went bananas starting with episode 8. Yeah. I mean, really, to be fair, the whole thing was bananas, but episode 8 of the new season of Twin Peaks is
crazy.
Probably the single weirdest thing David Lynch has ever made.
Episode 8 specifically?
Yes, episode... It is its own standalone nightmare.
Hachi machi.
It's intense.
All right. This one...
let me just say one more thing.
Sure.
C. Hollingsworth, thank you again for listening to the program. I can't believe you listened to us to kill the pain of a job that is hurting you because... to me, the salve that you look for your wound is the thing that wounds me. But thanks for listening. I don't have anywhere to go with that other than thank you and like.
But thanks for listening to the podcast.
My own kind of befuddlement with your enjoyment of this.
This one comes to us from December 31st, 2017.
Okay.
I've never watched Twin Peaks. There are just so many good shows out there. If you did do a podcast, I guess meaning a Twin Peaks analysis show that I pitched that you don't want to do, this person said, I'd watch along with you guys.
Huh.
Jack B., loyal listener number 12.
Well, thank you very much, yeah. Jack B., yeah. Loyal listener number 12. I would point you in the direction of a podcast called Twin Peaks Unwrapped.
Ooh, okay. What's this?
That's a Twin Peaks themed podcast.
Okay.
Obviously. Francine and I have been guests on it before.
Oh, nice.
They're doing a thing right now where they are, you know, after having just a couple of years of just talking about various Twin Peaks stuff and getting excited for the show to come back.
Sure.
They're now doing a series of episodes where every episode is just dedicated to one episode of the original run of the series.
Okay. And so they do a deep dive and...
Sure. They take like, you know, episode two and they just talk about episode two the whole time.
Okay.
And they bring in, they'll have like a panel of guests to come in and like kind of dissect the episode and talk about it. We did,
you and Francine,
we're going to do an episode for it. One of the things that they have is they have copies of the scripts screenplays for all these episodes. So you get to read through and see all of the things that were written that they didn't shoot or got cut out.
Shit. Okay.
And so the hosts of this program bring in other guests to read those scenes and act them out.
Nice.
So the Pink Room Burlesque, you know, Francine and Minx Arcana and Bunny Buxom and CD Edie and myself went through and we recorded these scenes for, and it was actually
God.
The second episode, the one that comes after the
yeah,
pilot.
Yeah, yeah.
We went through and just recorded all of these scenes and did our character voices and
sure.
all mixed with sound sure. and music. Sure. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the one that we did airs sometime in May, but until then, I would recommend checking out Twin Peaks Unwrapped podcast.
Twin Peaks Unwrapped podcast. We'll make sure that is in the show notes for you. That's pretty awesome.
I got to do a lot of, because I was the only male voice in our crew.
You got to do all the male characters.
Yeah, so there's like, there'll be a scene that is Truman with Agent Cooper with Dr. Jacoby, and I'm doing all of the voices. It's a lot of fun, though. Check it out.
I still think this would be a good idea.
Okay.
Where you and I watch an episode together. Uh-huh. You being the deep dive fan and me being brand new to get a perspective on what that's like.
Oh.
I still think that's a viable thing.
We did that. We watched the pilot episode. That was an episode of this podcast. We already did the thing that you're pitching to me. You want to do it again?
Yeah.
We should do an episode where you get high for the first time.
No, we should do a whole other podcast.
We should do an episode where we go back in time and we're pre-adolescence with a tape recorder.
This one comes to us November 21st, 2017.
Good Lord.
Hey, chaps. I hope I've not missed the boat on this. Where'd the month go?
Okay.
It's okay. We're just around getting to this. In short, whilst I obviously don't know you, Nelson, really at all, I am in somewhat of a unique position to at least make some guess at your personality. You see, in the Schaefer Lugo podcast community, I am currently in two places at the same time. I'm bang up to date, having listened to the last two episodes, and I'm way back in the past, slowly crawling forward through time, current up to episode 19. Why is this relevant? Well, the Lugo I'm most acquainted with is Yester Lugo. Yester Lugo has only recently recovered from cancer and is starting to pick up his career in magic once more. For me, it was like a few weeks ago that you guys were plugging Epic Win and regularly having burlesque performers as guests. And finally, get to my point. You both only ever speak of the performers in your shows with the most utmost respect, and it's pretty obvious that many of the performers are also close friends of yours. I wasn't there, but the scene at the time sounded like a bunch of like-minded folks having fun exploring a new thing. If at the same time you were, as you mentioned a few times, looking for love, not going out much to do anything other than work and spending time with like-minded, attractive people, doesn't it fit that you'd ask a few of them out? Who wouldn't? That wasn't at all short. Sorry, a very quick thank you for recommending Lock and Key. I'm nearly done with all the volumes. I've not read comics for about 15 years, and I've really gotten into these. In return, by means of recommendation, if you have the time, check out Ghost Poet. He's a wordsmith producer from London. I saw him live a couple of weeks ago near me, and he blew me away. Like everything he does, but Freak Show is a good place to start. Oh, I like everything he does, but Freak Show is a good place to start. Big love from Cambridge.
Big Love is one of my favorite Pixie songs. That's actually not the song. The song is called Gigantic. They just say a big, big love. So it sounds like this listener is
referring to
listening to old stuff where we used to have burlesque performers on as guests. And also listening to a recent episode where you talked about getting called out.
Sure.
For, you know, past
possible problematic behavior.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's, I don't know, I don't have a thought.
Yeah, I guess I don't either. Doing,
but the saying, like, it seems like you're very respectful. And that may be.
Yeah.
But I guess I appreciate the gesture, but I feel like in any other circumstance, if I heard somebody who was defending themselves against any kind of dicey sort of behavior, and then a peer of theirs defended them by saying, like, well, I heard this thing you said a long time ago, so you're obviously a nice guy. It's a little character defense-y.
Yeah.
And what's the initial here on this? L? L from Cambridge. and I am not trying to detract from the kind words you've said, and they're deeply appreciated. Thank you for listening. I'm just saying, like, it's all very timely and relevant based on the social circles we used to inhabit now, that there is a great deal of, well, I stayed at your house once and nothing, you never were mean to me in any way. And these are defenses being made of terrible fucking people.
Oh, sure.
So I'm just, the only reason I bring this up is it's just I have hesitance to fully embrace that in a way.
I agree.
It rings a little too familiar.
I understand the sentiment it's coming from.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to dismiss that, but it's also not a valid defense.
No.
Yeah. But thank you.
Thank you, L from Cambridge. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it nonetheless. L from Cambridge wrote another email. It's another sort of glowing rave review of what we do.
Do I get to read any of these?
No.
Okay.
But Lee ended this one with, in quotes, wouldn't it be cool if there was a Deadpool movie said by Schaefer in episode 8 of this podcast?
Did I?
Yes.
Huh. I think I was excited about having a superhero movie where the superhero would break the fourth wall and talk to the audience.
Uh-huh.
I was never like a huge Deadpool fan until
Deadpool the movie.
Until Deadpool the movie came out.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And can't wait for the sequel.
I can't wait for the sequel. I just saw the trailer. I'm going crazy.
Well, then, thank you, Elle, for confirming that I am Nostradamus of indie pop culture themed podcasts.
Do you want to read the next one?
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, really?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
So what's the date on this one?
The date on this one, it is September 4th, 2017. Oh, back before my friends were being sued.
Oh, good times.
God, those were simpler times.
Simpler times.
Back before I went off my meds. Too true. Okay. This one comes to us from a B. Burke. Title, The Show Is Not Boring. Hey Schaefer, Lugo, please note which name went first there.
Yours this time. Right. Absolutely.
Hey, Schaefer, Lugo. Longtime listener, first time writer. It dawned on me that I started listening to this show 5 years ago when I was 18.
Holy shit.
I've meant to send an email since then, but it seemed every time you requested emails, I was a month bit and catching up. Maybe I was
a month late.
A month out.
Yeah.
I was a month out and catching up, etc. I essentially haven't emailed because I felt it would be too awkward to admit I was too shy, anxious to email earlier. So here I am 5 years later to tell you the show is great. I've enjoyed the show so very much over the years, and I like the many different formats it has taken. I can't think of a bad episode you've ever released. The only episode I've not finished was the Twin Peaks pilot episode because I wanted to watch the show along with your commentary but never got around to it. Nice. My least favorite part of your show... it is easy to admit is the end. Aww, specifically when you announce all the great stuff you guys are up to that I can't attend because I live in Ireland. And as much as making it to any of these would be rather... And as such, making it to any of these would be rather difficult indeed.
Yeah, the commute would be rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to give the show a rating, it's a solid 5 for me. Hopefully that brings up the average a bit. Hope this email finds you well whenever you get around to cleaning up that inbox and whichever of you reads this.
Oh.
Best regards, B. Burke.
I have never been more seen in my life than Mr. B. Burke.
Thank you so much. That's, again, it's humbling, and it's hard to respond to praise for this product without being self-deprecating and somehow, like, you know, insulting toward you and your taste.
Yeah. Insulting.
It's just a defense mechanism because it's hard to take praise.
Yeah, it's hard to take praise. I hear that.
But thank you so much. That's another reference to our Twin Peaks episode.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Twin Peaks.
Well,
can we just turn into a Twin Peaks podcast?
No. Here's what I'm saying.
You can become a new fan. Oh, it could follow your journey.
We make it a second podcast called Peaking the Twins. Oh, God, that was gross.
Yep.
No, bleep that. Bleep that, please.
I am not. No, that's staying in.
No.
I'm gonna edit it. I'm going to put it right next to the song.
Oh, God damn it. We'll call it. You know what? We'll get titles from the listeners. But I think we should watch Twin Peaks, the original, and we do commentary over it, and you tell me all the things I need to know, and I learn all about Twin Peaks, and it'll be a podcast about Twin Peaks.
Your suggestion is that we make a second podcast.
Yeah.
Here's
the good thing about this podcast.
I can't believe you're even alive sometimes. A second podcast, he says.
Here's what we can do. Instead of like waiting a month to record these, we can knock out like 4 of them in an afternoon and then bank them.
You can knock out 4 of them in an afternoon,
yeah.
Batman.
Yeah.
I still need several days to edit them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We could do a whole bunch, put them in the can, and then release them slowly.
Oh. You know, the part of it that's appealing is getting to watch you watch Twins.
Yeah.
And I think that would be fun for an audience.
Also, for people who haven't or have watched.
The part that I don't like is the part where we're doing a second podcast. Because it's the 60th episode of this one. And we got fan mail talking about the various formats we've used over the years.
Yeah.
And for like ever since we came back from our episode 50 break, it's just been the same format. This month, we're scraping the barrel. We're just reading our inbox. And you want to produce a second podcast?
Well, tell you what, loyal listener, would you continue listening if this became a Twin Peaks commentary show? Let us know. Send us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. I think we have time for one more email.
All right.
Do you want to do the next one?
Are you going to let me read 2 things on this show?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. This one comes to us from September 3rd, 2017.
God damn, these are old.
Hey, gents. I have quite a few favorite moments.
You were fishing. This is the episode where we called people.
The market research episode.
We called people and you asked them, why is our show terrible?
Mm-hmm.
And people generally either have never heard it or if they did hear it, actually really liked it.
Okay. Hey, gents. I have quite a few favorite moments, but actually really loved listening to Lugo break down the wrestling entrances. Oh, I remember we did that.
Yeah.
It's set of the analytical side of my brain. Oh, it's set off. I think are the iPhone typos. Yeah. It set off the analytical side of my brain, kind of like reviewing an album or video game, and was really fun to hear.
Oh, good.
Another of my favorites was actually the time travel episode. Silly and wonderful.
Aww.
Feel free to call anytime for additional market research or sad movie watching. Cheers, S. Thank you, S.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
See, you hate everything you do. And so that taints your opinion of everything that you
do. I don't hate everything I do. I think I've written a couple of pretty good songs.
You have. And I would even go so far as to say that you've written many good songs.
Yo, let's not start throwing ticker tape just yet. Let's just keep it dialed back a little bit.
But yeah, looks like people like what we do, Shapes.
Well,
or as Kabuto Python calls you, Shapeses.
Yo, Shapeses. Remember Kabuto the Python?
I remember Kabuto. I miss him. I miss his raspy, curmudgeonly, inappropriate ways.
If you also miss Kabuto the Python, send a message at kabutothepython@gmail.com. I'm hoping he's got that email address.
If he doesn't, he's an idiot.
Anyway, thank you, listeners. And thank you for those who haven't written, those who have written. Thank you for continuing to listen to this show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I know we have a very small audience, but it is a dedicated and loyal audience, and we do it for you.
Size matters not, said Yoda to...
Gross!
Luke.
Gross!
We're about out of time here.
Yeah, we're done.
Do we have anything that you, Nelson T. Lugo... I know your middle initial is R.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you would like to plug?
Yes. On May 3rd, 2018, I'm going to be spinning the digital shellac, partying like it's 1929 at the Green Fairy Absinthe Tasting in the Red Room, which is the bar above KGB Bar, which is the bar above the Crane Theater on West 4th Street.
The East Village of New York City.
It's a great little speakeasy joint. Come in your best vintage garb, or just come wearing a tie and a nice dress. Or, you know what, do what you like. But it's a fantastic evening of music and dancing and a floor show and a fantastic absinthe varietal every single month. And if you love absinthe, then this is a great way to be introduced to new varietals that you may not even heard of before. If you don't like absinthe, it's a bar. Order anything you want from the bar. If you don't drink, it's a show. See the fucking show and buy a seltzer, you hermity moron. Get out the house. Stretch your legs a little. Meet people.
Wow. Really aggressive pitch. If you made flyers for your shows and hung them around, would you put like one of those little chips? You know those birthday cards that you open up and it like plays a little song?
Oh, yeah, a little voice.
Would you make flyers and put little chips in them that just say, come to the show, stupid?
Yes.
Because that's how you're
Yes,
for a minute there, you're being like a real company man. I was like, they must be paying you a lot the way you're on the show. And then at the end,
I think everybody should come to this thing because I think it's actually a really, really good time. The fact that you refuse to come kind of breaks my heart a little bit. But I also understand that you hate everything. And it's not really my fault. You just don't like things.
I don't like going places where people are dressing up like it's 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a phobia. You have a weird phobia
about
that.
It's not a phobia. It's a disdain.
You have a weird complex about it.
It's not even a complex. I don't like it. I don't go to it. That's pretty much the whole story. How many elements are required for something to qualify as a complex? Because I think that that's not enough. Who cares?
And then on May 10th, yours truly is celebrating a birthday.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
You can send me all of your lovely birthday wishes and cheers and all lang synes and happy birthday gifts to epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That subject line, happy birthday, Lugo. in parentheses, May 10th, end parentheses, at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell me how much you love me or how much you hate me or how much you're just quite frankly indifferent.
Just as an aside, I'm going to be really disappointed if we don't get a fresh round of inbox fillers just wishing him well because his birthday is on May 10th. So please.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
This year he's going to make a wish to be a real boy.
It's true.
I only have one thing. On Friday, May 18th, I will be hosting the Pink Room Burlesque. Francine the Lucid Dreams, Pink Room Burlesque, is doing a... It's not just an all burlesque show. It's a music and burlesque show. There's going to be a couple of burlesque acts, but mostly a lot of just musical acts, like singing acts.
Oh, sweet.
Tributing the music of David Lynch and the films of David Lynch, because that's what the Pink Room does.
Yeah.
But this will be happening the same weekend as David Lynch's Festival of Disruption is in New York City. So if you're in New York to check out the Festival of Disruption, then maybe on, Friday, May 18th, you swing by Joe's Pub at midnight.
Ooh.
And you catch the Pink Room Burlesque's No I Banda.
What the hell was that?
It's a line from Mulholland Drive. It means there is no band.
Okay.
At Joe's Pub in New York City. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be hosting some characters. There'll be lots of Twin Peaks and various David Lynch stuff. It's the Pink Room. I've been plugging it like every other episode for 6 years. You know what it is now.
That's very true.
Come on, check it out.
Come on, check it out.
Or don't.
Get out the house and put some pants on, you filthy animal.
Or don't. I'm not your real dad. If you want to stay home pantsless and... do that weird thing you do. That
meet some people,
cool.
You antisocial misfit.
Wow. That's not really what antisocial means.
Oh, well, whatever.
Anyway, we're done. Let's go.
And this has been the 60th episode of your favorite podcast, The Epic Piecast. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye, you... Thank you for listening to the Epic Piecast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpiecast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Piecast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Tits to the motherfucking crotch, homeboy.
Never say that out loud again.
Okay.
So it seems like we get a lot of feedback. People seem to like when we do the episodes where we watch a thing and talk about it. Does that mean our audience just wants us to be like a riff tracks?
No, God, oh God, no, no.
Is it
no,
different?
No. Yeah, no, commentary track. Commentary track.
We did a Doctor Who episode because I'd never seen it, and we did Twin Peaks because you'd never seen it.
Yeah.
Would it be interesting if we did a Lion King episode?
Because you've never watched The Lion King.
Because I've never seen The Lion King.
You've never seen The Lion King. I keep forgetting that.
Right? It's. I don't know if I want to let it go, though. It's like this
I know.
Cool party trick I can break out when people are like, what's a movie you've never seen? Godfather? Yeah. Who gives a shit? Goodfellas? okay, who cares? The Lion King? The Lion King? I feel like Raheem almost unfriended me when he found out that I've never seen The Lion King.
That would be good. I've also never seen, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes, you have.
Where? Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot.
We watched it here once because you said you never saw it.
That's right.
It was like on Christmas Day.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We watched Rocky Horror on Christmas Day.
I completely forgot about that.
And you were underwhelmed.
I was very underwhelmed.
Yeah, well, too old to see it for the first time.
You're too old to watch The Lion King!
Hakuna Matata, motherfucker.